Blessings flow as far as the curse is found, as far as the curse is found. And this Advent season, we had the privilege of hearing from Pastor Kevin last week about this promised Messiah who is making his blessings flow, who is making his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And this morning, we pick right back up in Isaiah in chapter 9. And we've been talking about the royal names of God that's given to this child. And we've been trying to see how it is that God speaks life into us, into our world, and shows us hope again in Jesus. And so if you have your Bibles, turn there to Isaiah 9, or if you have your bulletins, you can follow along in your bulletins. And as always, this is God's word. It stands over us. It is for our good. It's for our benefit. Therefore, let us give our attention to it. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And then the verses that most of our attention will be given to this morning, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. It's God's word. Let me pray for us and pray for our time this morning. Let's pray. Lord, in the past, you spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in many ways. But in these last days, you've spoken to us by your Son, whom you appointed heir of all things, and through whom you made the universe. The Son is the radiance of your glory and the exact representation of your being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, by the word of his power. And it's this Son, Lord, that we want to see and hear from today. Jesus, you, is what we need. We need you to guide us, to be our teacher this morning, to speak to us, to encourage our burdened and weary and doubtful hearts. Lord, grant us grace that we might see you as mighty, that we might see you as a God who is powerful, who is good, who is loving and kind. And yes, you are concerned about us and you love us. Jesus, feed us, we ask, in your name. Amen. I know the holiday season and this time of year is always pretty complicated for a lot of people, because I know that for a lot of you, you feel like this time of the year is the time of the year where you're taught to just pretend. Just act like everything is all right with the world. Just act like your life is in order and there's nothing wrong, there's nothing bad happening. There's not, you know, violence, there's not suffering, there are not trials that you're right now dealing with. At this time of the year for me, for most of my life, was, it's a pretty frustrating time because I felt that I needed to just ignore everything that was bad with the world. And I know one song that I think captures this is a song by an artist named Sufjan Stevens. And it's called, "It's Christmas, Let's Be Glad." And here are the lyrics. "Since it's Christmas, let's be glad. Even if your life's been bad, there are presents to be had. Take a walk out in the snow and hear Santa's ho, ho, ho. He's got a million miles to go. And then there's a la, 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 oh." "Sing a carol to your mom because she knows what's going on and she knows if you've been bad or good. And if you get what you deserve to be graded on the curve, oh, you got a lot of nerve. La, 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 ah. Since the year is almost out, lift your hands and give a shout. There's a lot to shout about today. Since it's Christmas, let's be glad. Even if the year's been bad, there are presents to be had. A promotion for your dad." And I think that song is brilliant because, again, I think that's what we feel during this time of the year. That we know about Jesus, we know about God, we know about the promised Son. We've heard this year after year after year after year. And our lives are falling apart. And it seems this hope that we proclaim and talk about year after year is worth nothing. This God that we proclaim, who promised this Son, is not doing anything about my situation, about your situation, about what's happening in your life right now. And this morning, as we look at this passage in Isaiah 9, I want us to focus on this time of seeing God, this promised child, as mighty God. Mighty God. Now, I know when you hear that, that's not the most exciting name. It's great that you're called mighty. It's great that God is called mighty, but we don't think about kind of what that means in Scripture. What does it mean that God is mighty? I mean, the only time I use the word mighty is when I think about Mighty Mouse, which is terrible, right? We don't think about God as being mighty. What does it mean that this child that is promised, this son that is given, is called Mighty God? And I really just want to this morning kind of really focus on applying this to right where we are, right where you are, right where I am, in needing to see God is mighty. He is mighty. Now, this description of this child, Mighty God, is a word that you find in the Old Testament in Hebrew, Gabor, El Gabor. This connection of God and showing God as mighty is always in light of what God has done. It's always in light of his saving acts and benefits, and it's always in the list of other character traits and attributes of God. That because God is mighty, he has shown that he is mighty in the way he has revealed himself to his people. He has shown that he is mighty in the way that he has shown his love, his kindness, his care for his people. And in this context in particular, God has delivered these people from their enemies and conquered their enemies and made them his people. But here it is in this passage, they find themselves. And Pastor Kevin mentioned this last week as he was setting up the context. In the midst of darkness, they are suffering. They are dying. They are in many ways worshiping false gods and suffering as a result of that. And God, in the middle of all those things, promises this. it's coming to an end. All of your trial, all of your suffering, all of your pain, all of your hurt, all of your shame, all of your guilt is coming to an end. And it's going to come in a way that you do not expect, in a way that I do not expect. A son is given. A child is born. And let me tell you about this child, God says. This is what his name is going to be. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. A name that God only uses for himself. He declares and speaks and says, no, this child will be called Mighty. And you will know, and you will see that he is mighty when he reveals himself, and when he saves his people, and when he redeems his people, when he redeems you. And so in the midst of that darkness and hurt and shame and sorrow, rejoice. 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 Pastor Kevin talked about this last week a lot. You see it coming up in those verses. Rejoice. Have joy. Why? Because my word is good as sure. That it is spoken of in past tense. It is done. It is finished. And for you and me right now, listen, I know that we are all over the place. I know that many of you are struggling with many hurts. I know that this time of year, for many of you, like me, is a pretty depressing time of the year. It reminds me of family members who are no longer here. It reminds me of some of my family members who have died during this time of the year. It reminds me that there are people that I love who are dying of cancer. It reminds me that the world is not as it should be. It's broken. And God says to you, and God says to me, dear son, dear daughter, a child is born for you. A son is given for you. Jesus is for you. Jesus is for me. And in the same way that we can look back on Jesus being born, Jesus living, Jesus dying, Jesus being raised for us, is the same way that you and I can look at this passage, like the saints of old, in faith, and have hope, and have life, and have joy, in knowing that in the end, it is all going to be well. I had a friend, it's probably over 20 years now, before I had kids, and they were watching, he was watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, I think, with his youngest daughter, and during this movie, this is a movie she has watched, you know, hundreds of times, but there's this one scene in the movie where it's pretty intense. There's a chase, there's a cliff, and it seems that during this chase, the main heroes in the story, they're about to fall off the cliff to their impending doom. And it's during this time that this daughter kind of covers her eyes because she doesn't want to watch the hero fall off the cliff. And she doesn't want to see, and she's like, Daddy, tell me when it's over. And her dad reminds her, you've seen this movie before. You know how this ends, right? They're safe. They're safe. You know how this movie ends. You know how this story ends. They are safe. She is safe. They survive. And in many ways, I think about that girl and I think about how I am just like her. That God tells me, no, you know how the story ends, Roy. You're safe. Jesus tells me, you know how the story ends. I have you. You are safe. And I know for us, in the midst of our lives and our struggles, that what we want to do is go, I can't see this. And you need to hear that your God is mighty. You need to hear that he is a mighty God, that he is mighty to save. And I just want to spend the last few moments kind of talking about what it means that God is mighty. And at the very least, it means that you and I have to look at God's track record. That not only do you have scripture, you have your very own stories of how God has delivered time and time again to you and to me, and yet we doubt him. It was a few weeks ago in our communicants class where Diane Curry, I don't think she's in here right now, was praying for our class. It was amazing. I mean, just these very simple words that she prayed that just kind of really brought me to tears. She said, you know, just, Lord, I want to thank you for all that you've done for me. I want to thank you for all that you've done for me. And it brought me to tears because I don't pray that prayer enough. I'm not thankful for the stuff that God has done for me. That my thoughts oftentimes, sadly, about God is much like Janet Jackson's, what have you done for me lately? God, what have you done for me lately? I've been praying about this, and you have not delivered. I've asked you for this, and you've not delivered. You've told me to wait. You've told me to trust. You've told me to believe. When are you going to hear my prayers? When are you going to hear me, Lord? And I guess you must not be that mighty because you don't answer prayers. You tell me to ask you for big things, and you don't give me those big things. You tell me to believe, and it seems I just wait. And for me to reorient my heart around the truth of God's love for me in Jesus would be as simple as me praying and seeing God's mercy to me time and time again. His track record of never failing me. For me to stop and say, Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for all that you've done for me. I've shared some just about my childhood, but for example, I never thought I would live past the age 16, and yet here I am standing before you. I never thought many things that have happened to me, many blessings that have come upon me, would ever fall upon me. And it's not because I'm good in and of myself, or strong in and of myself, or mighty in and of myself, or wise enough in and of myself, but because the mighty God had mercy on me. And it's the same for you. That some of you, your children have suffered hard things. That your children were on the brink of death in some instances. And the mighty God, you prayed to him and he heard you and he delivered. There are some of you, hard things have happened to, harder things than what's happened to me. And yet you still stand here. You are still trusting God. Why? Because God is mighty. He has saved you. He has shown that he is fighting for you. And if God is for you, then who can be against you? Then what can separate you from the love of God? Not death, not life, not angels, not rulers, not principalities, and on and on and on. Why? Because the Mighty One is your God, and he loves you, and he delights in you, and he is with you. This child is your hope. This child is my hope. It's what we have. It's reason and cause for rejoicing. It's reason and cause for joy. There is no sin that will separate you from that. There is nothing that is going to stand in the way of a mighty God as he is committed to to his people and faithful to his purposes and promises to redeem all things. That is what he's doing. That is where this kingdom is going. It is what verse 7 is about. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And notice, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will do this. That this is what God is committed to. He promises to make all things right in his Son, to you and to me. So, people of God, lift up your heads. The Mighty One is with you. And if you are here this morning and you do not know Jesus, we want you to know that the Mighty One stands and is ready to save you. He saves sinners like us. He works. He is powerful. He is able to save. He is able to take on the sins of his people. He is able to take on your sin. And the cross that this child is born to die that he might save. And we want you to know that this child welcomes you. Jesus welcomes you, the promised one. But he is powerful. And he was raised in power and in new life. And you too can have that in him. But my hope for us this morning is that we wouldn't act like this is a small thing, that God is mighty. That we wouldn't read these words and go, "Oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, he's mighty. That's good for him." That we would actually invite him into those hard places of our lives, those places where we find it hard to trust him, and submit ourselves to him, knowing that the Mighty One will do good, knowing that the Mighty One will bring justice and righteousness and peace, knowing that the Mighty One will make all things right. So, people of God, hope in God. Let's pray. Jesus, you are mighty. You are mighty in battle. You are our God. You are our Savior. You are our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Keeper. Jesus, you have not failed us yet. You will not fail us. We ask, Lord, that you would help us in our weakness. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us in the ways that we venture out in faith, in the ways that we journey as pilgrims, as aliens, as strangers in this world. We ask, Jesus, that we would greet your kingdom from afar, that we would see and lay hold and lay claim of the hope that is ours because this child is born, that you were born. Jesus, we ask you would give us joy in the midst of darkness and gloom. We need it. Please, Lord, hear our prayers. We pray these things in your name. Amen.